So, okay. So I start recording right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Father's birthday next time. I'm gonna bring goodies.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah. Today's Lent, so it's okay.
That's okay. I will have more gray hair by then. So I mentioned that Saint Faustina do have the gift, the special gift to pray for the dying. When the soul need prayer, she sends that, and oftentimes she really help the soul with praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So it's a really good prayer for the dying, and also Jesus also told her, you know, true greatness is in loving God and in humility. So she saw a famous man dying, that his end was emptiness and sin. And so she really experienced that, you know, the true greatness is in humility and in loving God. And then she also saw that, you know, the famous man died and he didn't go to hell because of the intercession of Our Lady, Our Lady of Mercy, because that man did have a devotion to Our Lady of Mercy, even though he wasn't that religious. And then we also learn about that Saint Faustina learned the Divine Mercy Chaplet, that she saw that the angel going to punish the world, but because of that prayer, the angel was not able to carry out those punishments. And so God told her to say that prayer, the Divine Mercy prayer, every time she entered the church, but also to taught her, you know, the next day, it was September 14th, 1935, to say that on the rosary. So it's now known as the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And also Saint Faustina, I mentioned that she also learned about in the spiritual life, she have to listen to God in the depth of her heart. And that listening to God in the depth of her heart will really help her to become holy in a short time. And also she had the experience that she asked to really take on the suffering of her spiritual director, Blessed Michael. So it's at the last name, Sopoko. So she experienced so much suffering that at the end she was crying in the chapel, but the Lord led her to see why she allowed that priest to suffer so much is because of the triple crown of virginity, priesthood, and martyrdom waiting for him in heaven. And so when Saint Faustina saw the glory waiting for the priest, she became really joyful. In the year 1936, Faustina was in two country houses of the congregation, and Saint Faustina also one time, I think I mentioned that she saw a ciborium with the holes inside. I believe there was like 1,000 holes inside, and she learned that it was the Holy Communion received by the people that she obtained for them the grace of lasting conversion during the Lenten season. So during Lent, Saint Faustina able to offer up her prayer and penance for the conversion of sinner. And so Saint Faustina do have that attitude of giving herself for the service of souls. You know, one thing, you know, today when I read the gospel today, you think about today gospel about Judas and about Mary, you know. And I remember that of the writing of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, you know, she was known to be a mystic who see really details the life of Jesus and the life of Mary. So in her writing, she described as some link of the contrast between Judas and Mary Magdalene in the Holy Week, that both were busy. But Mary Magdalene was busy, you know, she tried to get, you know, perfume, you know, the oil to be able to anoint Jesus. So she was busy of doing something to show her love for Jesus. She was a faithful friend of Jesus in a way of self-giving love. But and then Judas, on the other hand, he was a selfish person. He was busy. He tried to get connection. He tried to kind of a business mind person, you know, get her. That's his connection, you know, and all want to get advantage for himself. So he was busy too during Holy Week, and Catherine Mary, you know, described that really well. You see the big contrast between, you know, Mary Magdalene and Judas, and then also, you know, as a priest, we do get to hear and we see a lot of times the life of people. And oftentimes it struck me, you know, oftentimes people who are always on to grasp, you know, selfish, they are always the miserable, grumpy, unhappy people. But the people who are willing to give, generous, they are the happy people. So it's so we see that Saint Faustina is a wonderful example. That she is, she seems to be so insignificant. She was moved around so much in her community. Eventually, when she was assigned more permanently in Krakow. You will see that actually she was assigned as a gardener, and then she was sick in the hospital for a good number of months. And then after that, because of her poor health, she became a gatekeeper, or a doorkeeper. For the convent. So, you know, it's like really insignificant assignment. But she was able to offer up the little thing that she was doing, hidden from the world, offer up her daily work to God, daily prayer and sacrifice and suffering, and able to do so much. She was able to, you know, by her silent offering during Lenten season, of 1936, to obtain the lasting conversion, the true conversion of so many souls, that those souls can receive communion eventually. So she was transferred to Krakow. Basically, that became her last place to stay. So she moved there on May, not 18, but 11th of 1936 to Krakow. And so when she went there, you know, on July 16, Jesus said to her, "My daughter, suffering will be a sign to you that I am with you." Now, and of course, you also learn about the importance of the chaplet, the Divine Mercy chaplet. Coming Friday, you know, is the beginning of the novena, huh?
Yeah.
And the novena mainly, you know, of course, you know those prayer of the novena prayer that you bring different kind of souls to Jesus. But that actually, those prayer, I would say, is secondary. When Faustina learned about those the novena mainly consists of the chaplet of Divine Mercy. That's the most important. The prayer is help you to have a proper intention to pray the chaplet, but to pray the chaplet for 9 days, you know, with the intention to bring different souls to Jesus. That's the important focus of that novena. So, of course, you know, Jesus mentioned about those who pray the chaplet will receive a great mercy at the hour of death. And then also, even though people are the sinner most hardened, if he were to recite this chaplet only once, he would receive grace from my infinite mercy. So that's what Jesus said. Saint Faustina, I mentioned last time also that she had that physical experience. Like she was, when she met somebody not in the state of grace, she experienced the stigmata, the pain, not visible stigmata, like Patrick Peel, but she experienced the pain of the hands and the feet and the side, and she knew that person need prayer. And also she, I mentioned last time, her guardian angel brought her to hell, and she saw that people who sin with one of the senses on earth, you know, that mortal sin, unrepented, they would suffer in that sense for the rest of eternity, torment, you know. So I mentioned last time, you know, people who slander with their tongue, you know, they may suffer that in hell for eternity of the tongue, you know. or people watch inappropriately with the eyes, you know, things like that. And then she also mentioned that, you know, people in hell, most of the souls in hell were those who disbelieve that there is a hell. So people who didn't believe, the one end up going there. So it's and also Jesus toasting for sinner to practice mercy by prayer, by word, and by deed, by action. Now, as I mentioned that, you know, December 1936 to March 1937, Saint Faustina was confined in the hospital. So in the hospital, Saint Faustina, she prayed for the people who are dying, you know, people dying in the hospital. She prayed for them. And she also helped them, you know, to obtain the grace of repentance. Now, let me see if I have that particular. I don't know why. I think you're missing one of the talk that I'm supposed to have when she was in hospital. Okay, maybe forget about that for now.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that, you know, in the hospital, she did have a couple of times, you know, learn about the importance of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. One time around Christmas time, she was allowed to go home for a few days, and she made confession, and the priest gave her as a penance to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And I think, you know, Jesus in different occasions did tell her about the importance of the chaplet, like it's important to pray the chaplet. You know, and then at one time, you know, when she was praying for the dying, she knew that she should pray the chaplet, and the chaplet helped the person to die in peace. And so I forgot which one is which, but, you know, on one of those two occasions, Jesus told Faustina about the importance of the chaplet. Like when somebody pray for a dying person, you know, God will be there to be there not as a just judge, but as a merciful savior. So a person, when he is dying, pray the chaplet, will also receive the mercy of God. If the person, somebody pray for that person also receive the great mercy of God. So it's a powerful prayer to pray for the people who are dying. So it's a really powerful prayer, and Jesus will stand between God the Father and the dying person. So it's something that Saint Faustina learned from Jesus about the powerfulness of the chaplet for the dying. And then I think another time, like Saint Faustina was so longing for confession, because she got the circumstance in the hospital, she was not able to confess for more than 3 weeks. So she was really longing for confession, and she felt dirty in her soul. You know, think about people don't go to confession like 3 months, you know, 3 years. You know, for Faustina, 3 weeks is already quite a long time. You know, okay, go to confession.
Father Larry, could you give us a summary of his confession? There's people who did not. Who came to him who did not confess for 50 years?
Yeah, of course you can have some. Years. Yeah, some of that can be a long, long time. It's true. It's true.
Yeah, 50 years,
30
years,
20
years.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be a long confession.
Yeah, some of them will be a long time. You know, so but it's important that we do go to confession frequently. So she really longed for confession, and then when the priest gave her absolution, she saw it was not the priest; it was Jesus Himself who gave the absolution. So that's another experience of Saint Faustina, that's of the confession, that it was Jesus Himself who gave her the absolution. That's a couple of things I remember from that article that I forgot to bring. That is about confession, about that. I think she did get quite some message about the chaplet, importance of the chaplet, both after. In around Christmas time, as a penance when she prayed the chaplet, and also when I think when she prayed for the dying, and she learned about the powerfulness of the chaplet for the dying, and also so she was staying in the hospital until March of 1937, our current Holy Father born in that year, 1937, I think. Is that the year? I think that's the year when Pope Francis was born.
Do you like me to Google
it? You can Google it, yeah. So, on March 15, you know, Faustina experienced the bitter passion of Christ, understood the horror of sin, and Jesus said to her, I want to give myself to souls and fill them with my love. But few there are who want to accept all the graces my love has intended for them. My grace is not lost. If the soul for whom it was intended does not accept it, another soul takes it. So God gives grace to soul, but some of the people, they don't want to accept the grace of God, and so other people will take those graces. I think St. Teresa, the little flower, also had that prayer that she wants to pray to God, you know, when the graces people reject, she wants to accept that. And then she also offered herself as a victim to the mercy of God, because, you know, the love of God being rejected by people.
What was the year again? 1936.
Okay, you are right, I'm wrong. 1936, okay. So, that means he is turning 80 this December, huh?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it will be, so it's just he is exactly 40 years from my time, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, so 1936, so the bishop is 30 years older than me, and the Pope 40 years older than me. Yeah. So the Pope 1936, bishop 1946, and me 1976. Yeah.
56.
So,
huh? I'm 56.
You are 56.
I'm 1956.
1956. Any 1966 here? Oh, okay.
I graduated in 2006. Does that count?
Any 1986?
Nope. Sorry, I'm 2 years off.
2 year off? Yeah, 1988.
Yep,
first time. So you are a dragon, huh?
Yep.
Good for you. I'm a dragon too.
Yes. Yes, we're the cool one.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, again, St. Faustina continued to, basically, you know, Jesus described the divine mercy devotion. It's like a protection, a shield for the sinners. You know, we think about when we sin, we deserve the justice of God, the wrath of God. But the mercy, divine mercy devotion is like a protection, a refuge for a sinner. So Jesus told St. Faustina, you know, on March 27, you know, Jesus, St. Faustina went back to Krakow to the convent. He was released from the hospital. And April 4th, our next meeting, actually, our next meeting is April 4th. But actually, it was back in 1937, April 4th, it was Divine Mercy that year. Our Lord told St. Faustina, souls who spread the honor of my mercy, I shield through their entire lives as a tender mother her infants. And at the hour of death, I will not be a judge for them, but a merciful savior. At that last hour, a soul has nothing with which to defend itself except my mercy. Happy is the soul that during its lifetime immerses itself in the fountain of mercy, because justice will have no hold on it. So this is the time that we should immerse ourselves in the mercy of God. And then on June 6th that year, our Lord told St. Faustina, let the greatest sinners place their trust in my mercy. They have the right before others to trust in the abyss of my mercy. My daughter, write about my mercy toward tormented souls. Souls that make an appeal to my mercy delight me. To such souls I grant even more graces than they ask. I cannot punish even the greatest sinner if he makes an appeal to my compassion. But on the contrary, I justify him in my unfathomable and inscrutable mercy. Right. Before I come as a just judge, I first open wide the door of my mercy. He who refuses to pass through the door of my mercy must pass through the door of my justice. So, it is, remember, you know, last year we learned about St. Catherine of Siena dialogue. We talked about that in the prayer group. And also God the Father told St. Catherine that while we are on earth, we are in a time of mercy. And then when we die, it's a time of justice. We will be judged according to what we have done here on earth. And so while we are on earth, you know, God gives us opportunity to receive mercy. And so it's important for us to receive that. And of course, nowadays we see that, you know, divine mercy devotion is a powerful way that we can receive mercy of God. You know, it's a devotion that, you know, is really given to our time. It's a devotion given to our time. And so by canonizing Saint Faustina in the Jubilee year 2000, you know, Pope John Paul II let that mercy message come to this century, the third millennium, when he declared her a saint. And also on that day, it was April 30th, 2000, he declared from now on, the Sunday after Easter will be called Divine Mercy Sunday. You know, it's from that year on. So it's a devotion really for our time, and it's a devotion that really help us, you know, together with the Fatima devotion, you know, really help us to obtain mercy of God. Now, Saint Faustina was actually moved away from Krakow for a little while because they transferred her. But you know, when she was being transferred, less than a month, she is back to Krakow again because the weather, the climate didn't do well for her health. So she was quite sick and she needed to go back to Krakow in August.
What was she sick with?
August 10.
Was it like anything?
It's a good question. I think it might have to do with the lung. I don't know if they actually publicized know what is wrong with her, but she was quite unwell. Now while she was away from Krakow, Saint Joseph, you know, feast day last Saturday, Saint Joseph actually urged Saint Faustina to have a constant devotion to him. And Saint Joseph told Saint Faustina to do every day an Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be. And then there's a memorary prayer to Saint Joseph. So those prayers, Saint Joseph asked her to do every day. And so Saint Faustina says those prayers every day, you know, Our Father, Hail Mary, glory be to honor Saint Joseph, and also the memorary prayer to Saint Joseph. And she experienced, you know, Saint Joseph's special protection. So she did have also a devotion to Saint Joseph. And as I said, you know, our Lord told Saint Faustina to do the novena from Good Friday to the day before Divine Mercy Sunday. So coming Friday is Good Friday. And so, you know, so every day pray the chaplet and bring different souls to God. The first day is all mankind, especially sinners. The second day, the priests and the religious, so pray for me on the second day. The third day, devout and faithful souls.
Can I have that first
one? Keep quiet. The fourth day is for pagans and for those who do not yet know Christ.
Because I have to give Divine Mercy. I'm the spiritual for the CWL.
Yeah.
So I need that one, Father.
Okay, listen. The fourth day is for pagans and for those who do not yet know Christ. The fifth day is for heretics and schismatics. You know, for those who separate from the church, but they are Christians. The day number six is for the meek and humble souls and little children. The seventh day is for those especially venerate and glorify the mercy of God. And the eighth day is for the souls in purgatory. And the ninth day is for lukewarm souls. So every day is to bring some. There's no day for troublemakers though. Okay, so every day there is some kind of. I think, you know, Julie, honestly, you can actually find this really easily on the internet. If you Google Divine Mercy Novena, I guarantee you will find that.
I have the Divine Mercy Everyday Prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's downloaded, but the one you just said on the first day.
Yeah.
On the second day.
Yeah, but you know, it's on the internet anyway.
Okay. Yes.
It's on the internet.
Now,
as I mentioned, you know, because of her poor health, Faustina was assigned to be the gatekeeper. She was from a gardener to gatekeeper. It was September 6th, 1937. You know, basically, it's about a year before she died. She died in the year 1938. So unlike John Bosco, I don't think we can talk about her that much, you know, because John Bosco lived to 72 years old and she was only like 33.
Oh, wow.
And so we are actually coming to the last year of her life now. So she became a gatekeeper, and Jesus said to her, "My daughter, I'm always with you.
Yeah.
I have given you the opportunity to practice deeds of mercy, which you will perform according to obedience. You will give me much pleasure if each evening you will speak to me especially about this task." So sounds like an insignificant position, the gatekeeper, but the Lord wants her to be there, because in touch with the people, contact the people, give her opportunities to practice mercy, to practice the mercy in action. And then also, even though it's a simple task, you know, our Lord wants Faustina to talk to Jesus about her daily experience with the people, about what she was doing, you know. So sometimes, you know, we do really simple thing in our life. It's always good that, you know, we can also talk to Jesus about our daily experience. It's something that really helpful. So we see, you know, St. Faustina, you know, it just struck me that St. Faustina, St. Teresa the Little Flower, they are both quite unknown by the outside world in their lifetime. They were in their convent, and their assignments seem to be quite insignificant in our worldly point of view, in our worldly standard. You know, a gardener, a gatekeeper. You know, and then St. Teresa didn't have much significant assignment in her convent. She was not like the pious Mother Superior, you know. No, she was pretty insignificant in the community. But, you know, they both have that self-giving love. You know, they give themselves all that they could, you know, in the little way that they could give themselves. And so they were joyful people. They were able to experience joy because of their self-giving love. And then sometimes we see that, you know, sometimes people they can have so much in their life, but they are selfish. They always want to grab, they always want to have more, but they never satisfy when they are not happy. You know, always complain. And so it's important for us also to see, you know, also people will see in the world today, you know, in some of the poor country. You know, people are amazed when they do mission work. You know, they do mission work that the people in Haiti, in the poor country, they are happy people. Many of them, they don't have much, but they are loving people who want to give, happy people. In the Western world, people have so much technology, so much pleasure, occasion for pleasure. You know, so much food.
Yeah.
You know, and so much ice cream. But you know, but the people always want to, you know, people have that entitlement, the mentality of entitlement. I deserve it, you know.
Yeah.
And so people not happy.
Like in Brazil, where I used to live there, they have nothing.
Yeah.
A lot of people, but they're all happy, Father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you know, in the Philippines too, you see some of the poor people, they are happy. Right now, they are, Father Tim Horton is with the mission trip. They are building houses, and then they're building two houses that we raise money for in the Philippines. They post some picture on Facebook. They are Anita, you know, from our Surrey group post picture. They are building the two houses that we raise money for.
Yay!
Yeah.
So it's gonna have a house.
Corpus Christi raise money.
Huh?
Costs about 10,000 for a house, one house.
No. I think it's more than 2,000 per house actually.
Really?
Yeah.
How come you did not go to the Eucharistic Father?
I have pilgrimage this year in October.
Oh, I love that.
You know.
Cannot go out twice.
Yeah. You know, I can go Christ if I want to. But you know, the two things I always afraid of. I'm afraid of the crowd, and I'm afraid of the heat. So I think those two is enough to keep me away from going to events like that, like Worldview Day or to the Eucharistic Congress. Those two things will be enough to put me to, you know. So I've been only to one Worldview Day, and you know that's the one we go to.
Which one?
We become enemy, a frenemy. Australia.
Yeah, I know.
And the reason I go there is, you know, no, but that is one of the most comfortable Worldview Day ever. Because, you know, Australia, you don't have as big a crowd. And also because the weather in Australia at that time was winter.
Yeah.
So that's the only, that's the main reason why I agreed to go when they invite me.
Yeah. Where is it?
It's warm.
Yeah.
But it was held in January, so it's not so warm. Yeah. But the crowd.
It's Philippines is always warm anyway, no matter what month it's going to be. It's, yeah, no matter what month, it's always warm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the reason why, you know, when they invite me to go to Worldview Day 2008, I agreed to go, because I thought to myself, I at least want to go once, and but I'm afraid of the heat, so this is a good time. So it was the winter in Australia.
Yeah.
And then Julie was going, so I hesitate, I need to be because of that, but okay, I did wear. Yeah. But you remember, I was leading you people to avoid the crowd. Oftentimes, you know,
because
when
people are
because when the mass is almost finished, the mass is almost done, we're already all ready to go, you know, so that we won't be, you know, with the crowd and the traffic, you know. So
that's a good sacrifice, Father. You can offer it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
It was.
4 o'clock, while they're waiting for the train.
Yeah, and then we have mass. What time we have wear mass?
2 o'clock.
I forgot. Yeah, 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we have early mass.
Wow.
Yeah.
Usually 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, because we got to catch a plane, because we have to do a pilgrim walk. Yeah. So we did some of the really early mass, and then we do mass in a really hot chapel in Japan. You know, we are stopped by Japan. We have mass in the chapel. And it was super warm, that chapel. Yeah. Yeah. And then we were in the day of the diocese, we were in Brisbane, and then we live in pretty good houses.
You have a good house.
I have a good room too. You know, it was like vacation. It was a really good house that we were staying at. And then in Sydney, when they work actual work due day, we sleep in the school. And then we have to sleep on the floor. Wow, this is a big difference. Oh, it's like heaven and purgatory.
I can't imagine what.
If you have a chance, you try Worldview Day once. Like,
Father said,
once.
Yeah.
Where's the next one?
This year. This year we have one in Poland. So you are, some of you got it already. I give it to you. It's about the statues of our prayer group, because I on Tuesday night, you know, I was looking up canon law, and then I find that for our private association, we should have a statues what we are up to, what we are doing. And so it's something that we haven't done it, you know, I haven't put it into writing what our prayer group is about. So I just write it down for the four prayer groups. For those who doesn't have a copy, you can pick one. For those who have, you can pick one more if you want to. So I just want to share that. It's something that I wrote on Tuesday. It's just some problem with technical problem with the printer. So at the back is some kind of junk stuff at the back.
You have to submit this to the bishop.
No.
Did I go into kindergarten? Is it 94?
1994.
This is when I was in.
Basically, it's about the four prayer group. You know, Immaculate Heart of Mary prayer group. You know that it was started actually April 10, 1994. I was 18 at that time. Yeah, you were only 6. I know that.
Yeah. No, not yet, because I would have been
almost 6.
Yeah, I was almost.
Yeah. That group is in Cantonese, and then Aliyah Fatima is this group. It was started on September 13, 2007. It's in English. Aliyah Holy Rosary Prayer Group, June 9, 2008, is in Cantonese, And Queen Shah Mary, May 18, 2015, when Marissa turned 25, it was in English. And then a private prayer group found by Father Anthony in honor of our little Fatima. So you find that, you know, the first group, the first group I start when I first came to Canada. The second and third group start when I first became a priest. When I was new, as a newly ordained priest. I was still new priest at that time.
September.
And then the last group I start when I was become a new pastor, the new parish priest. So I was quite new at Precious Blood. So it's always when there's something new that I start a prayer group. So
don't do any more new things. So you already have enough on your plate, Father.
Yeah.
You're already too busy.
Yeah. So it's when something new and something happens. Okay.
Guys, we have to lock Father up so that nothing new can ever happen.
Nothing new can ever happen. Okay, the mission, so I have 3 MM, mission means and moderator. Okay, the mission for our group, to pray for souls and make reparation for sins, and to help members grow in faith and holiness. Pretty straightforward, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they memorized the whole thing already, don't you worry.
Yeah,
so pray and make reparation and also help to grow in faith and holiness. The means, okay, promoting devotion and message of divine mercy in our little Fatima. Now, after I prayed this thing this morning, and then I came to Vancouver, I was driving in my car, praying the rosary, and an idea dawned in my mind. This sentence needs to change a little bit. I say promoting devotion and message of divine mercy in our little Fatima. I will add one more word. Practicing and promoting.
Where?
Yeah.
Where shall I?
At the beginning, practicing and promoting devotion and message of divine mercy in our little Fatima.
Okay, I am going to put that in, and I think I spoke
so this thing that we're going to reverse by one word, two words. Practicing.
I fixed mine, and I think I spelled practicing wrong.
Yeah, okay. So when I go home tonight, I will just go, I open the computer to just change that, and it will be done. Okay, so it will be revised a little bit. And then the second means is our meeting once or twice a month, okay? And with divine office, like the night prayer, rosary, chapel of divine mercy, as a consecration to the Immaculate of Mary, Catholic video and or spiritual talk. Now, I want to emphasize, I highlight divine office, rosary, and also, you know, the rosary, divine mercy. You know, those are the things, of course, we do it, hopefully, regularly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially rosary and divine mercy. Some of you may be already praying the office too, you know. But in the rosary and divine mercy, hopefully you do that every day. Now, as a consecration, I want you to remember, the act of consecration that we are using after divine mercy prayer is a solemn act of consecration composed by Pius XII. So when we pray, that prayer is something solemn. It's something that you actually do your best to really mean what you say. For those who have read the book 33 Days to Morning Glory, that we consecrate ourselves to Our Lady, this prayer will be a good time to renew your consecration. Because this is a prayer that is a solemn act of consecration to Our Lady. And one of the important things about one of the mistakes, Blessed Alexandrina, we went there pilgrimage 2014 to her tomb in Portugal. Her main message is consecration to the Immaculate Heart. It was because of her that Pius XII consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart in 1942. And it was Pius XII who composed that prayer that we are praying every time at the prayer meeting. So sometimes when a longer prayer that we say every time, you tend to just treat it as a routine, something to just to get by, to get through, you know. But I encourage you, whenever we do that, every time you come to prayer meeting, it's a time for you to renew your consecration to the Immaculate Heart. Every time the prayer meeting should be something special for you, you know, because you just bring to Our Lady what is in your life right now, what you have, you know, to Our Lady. Every 2 weeks you renew that when you come to prayer meeting in a solemn way. So make that moment special, you know, after the Divine Mercy, that we have that consecration. Now, video, our sharing group is already doing DVD. It's the Bible timeline and it's going well. They all like it. They all like the Bible timeline. So we are going to do DVD in this prayer group too.
Yay!
Equipment being purchased already. I'm broke right now. That's okay. That's a joke. Okay. Now, so next time when we come here, April 4, we use this table. I think this table will move that more closer to here, you know, and then we will be all staying where they are. So now they are no longer festal. We will all be festal. We will be all at the back, and then we'll be watching from into this side. So they all have a screen on the table.
I will not do
the projector.
I won't do shadow puppets.
And then outlet.
Yeah, make sure that there's an outlet close enough so that you can.
Yeah.
There's one over here too.
Yeah.
So you bring the equipment?
What? I have all the equipment now.
Oh,
yeah, I got all the equipment. So it will be done that way. The table will be more further down here, and then this is the right position. And then I got a table screen, and then projector, and then you can project. So, and then we'll be watching April 4th, you know, until August, you know, for 5 months. We're going to watch Epic, Early Church History. It's a 10 DVD lesson on the early church. So it's the first 500 years of the church history. And then September on, we're going to watch the Bible Timeline, Jeff Cavan. So it's a 24 lesson. The story group is doing that right now, and they really like it.
Will there be
a
test?
They really like it. Huh?
Will there be a test?
Only Melissa will take a test. Okay? Yeah, okay. So that's what we are doing. I will still give a bit of a summary of what I'm going to give the Chinese group. I will still use my radical as a base for the Chinese prayer group, because there's no DVD that quality in Chinese yet I can find. You know, Ascension Press is pretty amazing in their quality of video, but it's all in English. So for Chinese, they still have to put up with me. I still have to give talk. Yeah, but I will give a summary here. You know, that's what I'm doing now for the story group. I give a summary of what I'm talking. So it's still somehow a spiritual talk. And then we have another means is that activities such as retreat, they are recollection, study circle, and pilgrimage. Sometimes, you know, some members from time to time, we just, you know, privately get together to watch some DVD. I call that study group, so study circle, you know, so that can be some.
Retreat
can be a few days retreat is possible.
Yeah,
you know,
let's
you know.
Go to the sisters in Squamish.
It's my decision where to go. Okay. Okay. Just more serious. They don't take many people for retreat for the sister. I do consider to go there,
really?
But no, they don't. But you know, for this circle and the story group, we do plan a retreat that can a retreat house that can take about 50 people. It's a retreat house that has to drive quite a bit, you know. But anyhow, we'll talk about that later. Their recollection is also something that can be done. We haven't done much about that. We did some day trip, and then pilgrimage, you know, is like the October one, but also our August busy day trip to mission is also our annual pilgrimage now. So this year, BC Day is on what day? BC Day is on August the 1st, okay? So mark the calendar. August 1st is our day trip.
Oh, I already have it in there.
Yeah.
Just in case.
And then the moderator right now is me, Father Anthony Ho. I start the group, so I look after it. Responsibility of the moderator, leads prayer meeting, organize activities, and maintain the contact list of members.
You've done a good
leaders job. May be appointed for each of the prayer groups to assist the moderator. So what I will do is that most likely each of the prayer group I will appoint two people. Each of the prayer group I will appoint two people that will have access to a special email account that I set up. They have access to all the email lists of all the four prayer groups. Okay, so each of the group I will have two people, and then it's also as a backup. So because I won't live forever, you know, I'm turning 40 now, you know, so you know, it's always important not to rely just on one person. So it's always good to have a couple leaders that in the group, so in case the leader has something happen to the main leader, another leader can just step in and continue to run the prayer group. So it's something that I think we'll have two people for each of the prayer group that have access to the email account and the email list, and then also to, and so somehow they have a devotion to Our Lady of Fatima and Divine Mercy, and also have some people skill that can step in and be leading the group. So every group I will pick a couple of people to do that. Okay, so that's the what we have. So now it's all in writing. You know what you're getting into.
Oh, what was I thinking when I joined this group?
Yeah. When you joined this group. When did you join this group again?
I think that was like when it was in Corpus Christi. It was just before, like I think it was just when it was still in Corpus Christi, and it was just before you were moved to St. Pat's.
I was there at Corpus Christi when Marissa joined.
Yes.
Ah, so you've been here for so many years now.
Yes. I don't know what I was thinking. I still don't. I don't know what I'm thinking now. I don't know how I found out about it, actually.